Greetings in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald, and today our devotional is titled, Jesus Forgives Sin. A key emphasis in Christ's ministry, as seen in Matthew 8, is the issue of lordship authority, demonstrated in various ways. This theme continues on into chapter 9. Here we see Christ's unique authority to directly forgive sins, proven by his ability to heal physically. This combination is completely unique to Christ's ministry. Matthew 9:1. So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. In thematic context, Jesus had crossed over from Capernaum to the region of Gadara, where he had cast thousands of demons out of two demon-possessed men. The demons immediately then entered into a herd of pigs, which then in mass promptly committed suicide by running violently over a steep precipice into the sea. Then the people from the city came out and begged Jesus to leave their region. And guess what? Jesus left. That's what we have here in Matthew 9:1. When Jesus is not welcome somewhere, he leaves. He does not force his way in. He wants to be wanted. He invites people to come to him, but he doesn't force it. Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. There is no hope for those who sin willfully in rejecting the plain truth that is made obvious to them. A saving faith response welcomes the truth and desires to receive Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. In contrast, when the truth of Christ is rejected, Christ goes away. Sometimes the very worst thing that can happen is that God simply allows people to have their own rebel way. In Romans 1, three times it is stated that God gives depraved rebels over to their own devices, which is the wrath of God on display. Romans 1, 18, 24, 26, and 28. So, being rejected by the Gadarens, Christ then crossed over the Sea of Galilee once again and came to his own city of Capernaum. Early in his ministry, Christ returned to his hometown of Nazareth, preached on the messianic text of Isaiah 61. Closing the book, he declared, quote, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. But instead of receiving him as the promised Messiah, the hometown people of Nazareth tried to kill him by seeking to throw him over a hill. But miraculously, Jesus passed through the midst of them and went on his way, as seen in Luke 4:16 through 30. Matthew 4:17 says, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum. Having been rejected at Nazareth, Jesus then made Capernaum his own city, which is to say, his ministry headquarters. Again, we see when Jesus was rejected in Nazareth, he simply moved on to another town, namely Capernaum, and made it his own city. Jesus only stays where he is welcome. In arriving back at Capernaum, the following event transpired. Matthew 9:2. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic, lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Many think this scene very possibly took place at Peter's house in Capernaum. Mark adds these details. Mark 2:3 and 4. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Because of the density of the crowd, these four friends proceeded to go to the upper level of the house, make an opening to lower the paralyzed man down in front of Jesus. When it says Jesus saw their faith, it undoubtedly speaks to the faith of them all, including that of the paralytic. Sin is forgiven only on the basis of faith. So this would indicate that certainly the paralytic also had faith. Faith and forgiveness are constantly connected in the Scriptures. The basis of how we receive God's forgiveness and salvation is on the basis of faith. After we are believers, if we fail, that is, if we fall into sin, we remain believers. We don't have to come to faith all over again. Rather, we then need to get right in our walk through confession, as seen in 1 John 1:9. Faith tied to forgiveness of all our sins relates to salvation. And that is what is in view here. Acts 10:43, to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. It was on the basis of faith that Jesus pronounced this man forgiven of sins. Some have tried to make the case that this man's physical ailment was a result of some specific sin in his life, and for that reason he was a paralytic. However, the text does not say this. It is true that sometimes physical maladies can be because of specific sin in the life of a believer, but it's not always the case. As seen in John 9, 2 and 3, sometimes physical ailments are not because of any personal sin, but simply because we live in a fallen world. We don't always know the reason why people get sick or have infirmities. In this fallen world, we have two major related sin problems. The entire human race is breaking down physically because of the effects of sin traced back to Adam and Eve, Genesis 2 and 3. It is a general condition that affects the whole of humanity. Secondly, we all come with a spiritual problem in which because of sin, we're cut off from the life of God and therefore are in need of forgiveness. This is our greatest need. This is what is in view here in Matthew 9. This is forgiveness related to salvation based on faith. Jesus addressed the man's spiritual need first and foremost. Again, the greatest need is that of forgiveness of sins. When Jesus said, "Son, be of good cheer," the words "good cheer" could be translated "take courage" or "take heart." This was meant to encourage and strengthen him spiritually. Properly understood, nothing is more important than being forgiven of sin. Nothing is more encouraging and strengthening than knowing all your sins have been forgiven. No matter what else happens, this is ultimately what matters in the end. Thus, Jesus first and foremost did for this man the ultimate and most important thing. On the basis of his faith, Jesus forgave him of all of his sins. Someone has said that forgiven is the most special word in the English language. The Greek word translated forgive means to send away. In the common vernacular, it means to let it go. God is omniscient, knowing all things, past, present, future, real, and potential. So when the Bible says in forgiveness, God will remember our sins no more, the sense is that he chooses not to remember them in the sense that in his divine accounting, he no longer reckons them to our account. That is a quote from Murray J. Harris. They are no longer on our record, our sins. God has let it go, never to be held against us again. Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Colossians 2, 13 and 14, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Praise the Lord for our wonderful Savior who forgives sin. This is Pastor Dwight Oswald signing off for now.